That's Romans chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Andy.
All right. Well, good evening. That's a good start. Oh, I can hear myself now. Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you. The last Sunday of 2018, and this perhaps being the last sermon you'll hear this year. My apologies, but we'll get into it. So what a year it's been. We've had many wars, natural disasters, political movements, national emergencies, the Winter Olympics, the FIFA World Cup, royal commissions, another Prime Minister, the plastic bags ban, the Australian cricket team ball tampering scandal, Qantas launching its first direct flight from Perth to London. Thanks for jumping in. But the moment of the year we all remember and enjoy is the West Coast Eagles winning the AFL Grand Final and returning the AFL Premiership to its rightful place in WA, a non-Victorian team. But when you look back at 2018, what are your highlights? What is it that you think about? What do you reflect on? What events do you think about the most? Was it the people you've lost, the babies you've gained, the jobs, the holidays, the illnesses, the recoveries, new relationships, old relationships? Because it's this time of year where we reflect. So Christmas is gone, and while we've got time to recover and get ready for the new year, we start looking forward and thinking back, and we start making our New Year's resolutions. And so who here likes New Year's resolutions? Anyone? Yeah. And so who's made New Year's resolutions yet? A couple? Okay. So I don't like New Year's resolutions either, because every year the same problem happens every time. Me. Because every time I want to change my circumstances, I want to strengthen my relationships or get healthier, that's not working, but I get in the way, or the world gets in the way. And I always find a way, nearly every time, to screw it up. But let's have a look at it. I googled the three most common New Year's resolutions that are nearly every year, and they were eat healthier, do more exercise, and save more money. But what happens? Eat healthier. So Christmas was our last hurrah, and now we want to eat more fruit and veg, drink less booze, cut out the snacking, and find out what kale is. And you're pretty good for maybe 3 to 4 weeks, but then what happens? Australia Day. Forgot about that, didn't you? Yeah. You're eating all healthy, you're doing really well, and then the barbecue starts smelling, the cold beer on a hot day, and it goes out the window. Or it could be anything. It's weddings. I mean, this is the season where you just kind of like fish and chips at the beach is just awesome. And so you just get in the way of eating healthier. What about doing more exercise? You get a gym membership, you buy a dog, you join a Pilates class, and you're loving it. You're getting into it. The heart's pumping. But what happens? You get sick, you get injured, or you get lazy, or you get too busy. And 3 months into the year, you wish your gym was a charity so that you could claim the payments on tax. Or my favourite, the next year, your resolution is to get healthy and do more exercise because your dog's too fat because you haven't done the exercise. But last but not least, we save more money. But do we? We write up the budget. We wait for specials. We cut down on eating out because we're trying to get healthy anyway. We've got hobbies. We're paying off the debts. But what happens? Things break down. There's that unforeseen cost. Bills pile up. And then there's that moment where you're like, but I need that. I really need it. I need those shoes. I need my new set of golf clubs. I need that second holiday. You know what? I'll just save next year. We get in the way. And so when we want to spend more time with family, when we want to try something new, when we want to start a new project, and like, how many times have you told a friend or family member, hey, let's catch up soon. And then a month later, not only have you not seen them, but you haven't even called them. I've done that. We get in the way. All the world does. And we see it every year, every time. And so tonight, as we look in our passage in Romans, so if you've got your Bible, leave it open at Romans 8. We're going to go through it together. So I want to talk to you about the Christian life. Because how does God help us in the way that we live and think? Because every Christian has the same issue as every other human being. We get in the way, and the world does too. Pardon me. But we're going to look at it from three points. We're going to look at reflect, respond, and resolution. So just like our New Year's resolutions, we look back and we think about it, and then we look at moving forward. We're going to see how our faith and how we become a Christian moves through those processes. So let's look at reflect. Where does Christianity start? What is it that we reflect on? Well, firstly, it starts with God. See, God created everything, and including us. And so our first reflection is, if God is at the center, is the center of the universe, if he is the almighty God and creator, and we're not, what does that mean? And what does God want from us? And so part of the first seven chapters of Romans, and pretty much the whole Old Testament of the Bible, it talks about how God wants a relationship with us. He's the creator, we're the created. He is our God, and we are his people. But there's a problem. We get in the way. Instead of obeying God, we live how we want to live, separated from him. And so the relationship that he wants with us, it's broken. And there are consequences. So our second reflection is our rejection of God. It turns us against God. It puts enmity in between us. The Bible calls it sin. And sin is everything we do that hurts God and breaks down the relationship between us and him. And just like our New Year's resolutions, no matter how hard we try to do better and improve ourselves and stay connected to God, we get in the way. And we're accountable for that rejection and failure because we don't obey God and we don't have a proper relationship with him. And because of it, we stand condemned to his judgment because of our sin. And so, reflecting on how we've mucked it all up, we have the greatest moment in history to respond to, the life, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So verses 1-4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So as we see in verse 1, we are saved by Jesus. We didn't save ourselves. God did. And so we look at verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Now let's have a look at that. The law is referring to a set of rules that God gave us to live by. If we followed them correctly and completely, we would be right with God. And so God actually did give us a chance to live right by him. But what happened? We got in the way. And this is where weakened by the flesh comes in. So what is the flesh? So Paul uses it 10 times in this passage. And it's important to know, because the flesh is a reference to our human lives and our body when we live opposed to God. It's when we put our desires before God's. And as you can imagine, if we live opposed to God, and there's a set of rules on how to live and be right with God, well, that only makes the separation even bigger and our relationship more broken. So we can't save us. The law can't save us. So God does. So verse 3 continued, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus came and lived as a man. He followed the law. He lived right with God. And then he took our penalty, our condemnation for our sin. And it's an incredible testament to how much God loves us and how much he still wants a relationship with us, even though we're getting in the way. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you're thinking, wow, that is a lot to reflect on, you're right. It is. And that right there is the foundation of every Christian's story. So what's the response? How do we respond? Well, we look at the end of verse 4. Those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we've looked at the flesh. But what or who is the Spirit? Because Paul uses the Spirit not 10 but 11 times. So obviously it's more important than the flesh. The Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit. So the Westminster Confession explains it like this. The Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, proceeding from the Father and the Son, of the same substance and equal in power and glory, together with the Father and the Son, to be believed in, loved, obeyed, and worshipped throughout all the ages. The Holy Spirit is God. And Paul makes this connection too. In the passage, we see the Spirit referenced as the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in verse 9. And Jesus even said in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Christian response is to turn away from the life of sin, the flesh, and walk according to God through his Spirit. Which brings us to resolution. So we've reflected on our sin, how it separates us from God, condemns us to his judgment, and now we believe in his incredible saving grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we've responded by turning from our lives, from ourselves, and living for God. And so our resolution is to live for God until we die or he comes back. Sounds pretty simple? Unfortunately, it's not. And any Christian here tonight will agree, I hope, that it's not that simple. Because what happens? You become a Christian, you start to follow God, and then you get in the way. So we still struggle with sin, all of us. And the world is still broken from sin. I'm sure if you're a Christian here tonight, some of these will sound familiar to you. So it's the end of a long day and you just decide to watch TV more often than not instead of reading your Bible and praying. This one happened to me, driving along, listening to Christian music. Jesus, I need you. And then the guy cuts you off and you're like, go to hell, I'm going to... Jesus, I need... That happens to me all the time. Oh, sorry, you're watching the news about corrupt politicians or corrupt cops, people who are dodgy, lawyers, all the rest of them, the bad lawyers. I know there's a lot of good lawyers in here. But basically, you're watching, let's say, corrupt politicians, and in your mind, you're in that mindset of, you know what, Lord, thank you that I'm not them. Thank you that I'm different, that I'm better. Man, we get sucked into that. Or you get annoyed that you got to go to church every Sunday. And then you got to go to Bible study as well. Or maybe you look at the person in the queue in front of you. Maybe you just kind of have a look around and you think, man, I wonder what they look like naked. They're pretty attractive. Or the ones that we get caught at is that someone comes to you and asks for help and you think, why would I give up my time? Or even worse, somebody comes to you and asks you for money while you're trying to save money and you think, why would I give you my money? See, a lot of our sin, it's reactional, it's emotional, and we do it and we realize we've crossed the line when it's too late. The hard part is, the problem goes deeper. The problem goes a lot deeper. Because there's those moments, those really horrible, messed up moments when your heart's telling you no, the Holy Spirit's telling you no, but your head's telling you, it's only a small lie. It's not really stealing if I don't get caught. It's only one more drink. They deserve my anger. It's only porn, it's harmless. I'm only looking. You know, we might get married one day, so sex is okay now. I know it's wrong, but I want it. You see, after all God has done with us, or done for us, we reject him all over again. And I have these moments. I hate these moments. I feel so ashamed and so alone and so disconnected when I have those moments. I hate getting in the way. And so here we are, caught in two minds. The mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. Because it's crucial to realize that the mind of the flesh is desirable. It's attractive. It can appear respectable. And it can feel really, really good. See, temptation is not necessarily ugly. In Genesis 3, it says the forbidden fruit was a delight to the eyes. See, we see or feel something or think something and we think, man, this is better than God. And so what does our passage say about the mind of the flesh? So in verse 6, it says the mind of the flesh is death. Verse 7 says it's hostile to God and it does not submit to God's law. In verse 8, it cannot please God. The mind of the flesh shows us that we would remain stuck in our sin, separated from God and still standing condemned because we're still getting in the way. So what does the passage say about the mind of the spirit? Well, in verse 6, it says it brings life and peace. See, the mind of the spirit is thinking in line with God. Verse 2 says the spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. The mind of the spirit embraces what God has done through Jesus and lives in peace with God. It follows God, not the flesh. And let's make it clear, there's no third option. There's no sitting on the fence. There's no balancing the two. It's one or the other. It's life or death. One is an active life of loving God, hating sin, following him and loving others. And the other is loving yourself more, loving sin, following your desires and forsaking others. What is your mindset? Because verse 9 takes it even further because it says you must have the Holy Spirit within you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you're a Christian here tonight, you may be wondering, well, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Because you're thinking, like I do, I'm really struggling with my sin. I feel like I fail God every day. And there may be some of us here tonight who, even though we are surrounded by a church family, feel totally isolated, feel totally alone, believing they are a phony Christian, living a lie. You see, that's what sin does. It isolates us. It makes us ashamed and it makes us believe we are disconnected from God and disconnected from others. When I started my apprenticeship this year, I just couldn't believe that a sinful schmuck like me could help people. If you'd asked me at the start of the year, I would never have thought that I'd be up here tonight talking to you guys about Jesus and life. Like, I just didn't think that people would accept the failure that I feel sometimes. So how do we know? How do we know that the Holy Spirit is in us? Well, it's our mindset. those who walk according to the Spirit have the mind of the Spirit. See, the text shows us that when we have the Holy Spirit, we become concerned for things of the Spirit, not the flesh. So are you focused on your life and this world? Or are you focused on God and your relationship with Him? See, even in our fallen bodies, struggling not to sin, are we actively living for God? When you first became a Christian, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, believing that His life, death, and resurrection saved you from God's judgment, did you start putting God first? Because when you do, verse 10 says we can truly be confident. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God saved you from your sin through Jesus, and He holds you to Him with His Spirit. And when we follow Him, He will never let us go, forever. And so tonight, if you're a Christian struggling with your sin, don't wait for the new year. Don't make it a resolution. If you want to stop getting in the way of your relationship with God, then follow the truth. Reflect on your sin and how it affects and separates you from God. Respond to the amazing salvation of Jesus. Repent and find peace with God. Ask Him for forgiveness. And make the resolution to live for God in the life and salvation you have in Christ. Set your mind in the Spirit. See, if this is you, we'd love to talk to you. I'd love to pray with you. And if you're not a believer and you're here, I'd love to talk to you about how to reconcile with God, how Jesus has saved you. And so after the service, please come find me or Mark or Shelley. Sorry, Shelley, to throw you in. But we have people here who want to help you experience God's amazing love. And there's more. Not only are we assured of God's love and salvation, He gives us hope. Hope for eternity. That when we die, that when the world's over, and when everything's all gone, we will be with our Heavenly Father forever. No sin, no struggle, no shame, no pain or suffering, just love and peace with God. So look in verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much. That even though we fail and we fall, you love us. And that you knew that we would reject you. That you knew we would be enemies with you and you loved us still. And you sent your Son Jesus to die and take the penalty for us. Lord, thank you that we can repent. Thank you that we can ask forgiveness and know that there is no condemnation. Lord, please help us to be mindful. Please help us to walk according to the Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit that we can know you, know your love, and share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.